Hello there, this is Elio Pace, and you're listening to Lee Williams.
She is far across the sea. Hey, Lord, would you look out for her tonight and make sure that she's gonna be alright? Things are gonna be alright with me. Hey, Lord, would you look out for her tonight and make sure that all her dreams are sweet? Hey, Lord, would you guide her along the roads and make them soft for her feet? Sure that she's gonna be alright till she's home and here with me. Hey, Lord, would you look out for her tonight as she's sleeping under the sky? Hey, Lord, make sure the ground she's sleeping on is always warm and dry. Ah, don't you give her too much rain, trying to keep her away from pain, cause my baby hears to cry. Every day.
Now is Elio Pace. How you doing?
I'm very well, Lee. It's great to speak to you after so many years.
I know. I know. I came down to interview you. I think it was 2015, when you did the right. Brook in Southampton. Yeah. When you first started this.
Billy Joel Songbook. I think it was the first time I ever performed the Billy Joel Songbook in my sort of hometown that I was brought up in. I was brought up in East Street.
That's right.
So the Brook, it was a great music live venue, live music venue, and we had a great night. I remember it. Yeah, it's great to speak to you again.
Good, and I came to the show last night in Woking, which was another it was a brilliant night last night. I mean, the place was just erupted.
It was fantastic. I mean, you will have noticed how things have changed in the last sort of 8-9 years. You know, I mean, thankfully, my show, which I just knew I had to keep going. I put all my money into it. You know, it was my own doing. I didn't have a producer, I didn't have a promoter at the time. I just knew that there was an audience for Billy Joel's music in this country, and because Billy doesn't want to perform his own songbook around the world anymore. He doesn't want to tour. So someone's got to do it. So I said, yeah, I'm going to do it. And there was nobody doing it 9 years ago. Nobody. In fact, there's never been anyone doing it until we did it. We were the first. And I just, I put it all together. I wrote the show with Matt Daniel Baker, and we went on the road, and we were playing very happily and filling 300, 400 seater places. And then during the pandemic, Lee, I got a phone call from one of the biggest promoters in the world, Phil McIntyre, who said, we'd like to speak to you about putting your show on. I went, yes, please.
Yeah.
Because, you know, financially, that's amazing, because they come along and they take a lot of the weight off that, and they organise the tour, they book the dates, they do the posters, they do everything I was doing with a little team. And now they're doing it. And as you saw last night, we're now where we were happy playing in front of 350, 400 people around the country in those beautiful little theatres. I love those theatres. And we'll still play those for other things. But now they're putting us into big places like the Uvictoria in Woking, where there's over 1,000 people. And as you saw last night, it's you know what? We have got better at it, but it's still the same show. It's still the same, almost exactly the same set list. It's the same stories, because I think they're important stories. It's the same show, but isn't it amazing how having, you know, the right, shall we say, the right backing behind you can make all the difference, and that's what you saw last night.
Excellent band.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. They're world class. I've got, you know, my bass player, Neil Fairclough, has just, a month ago finished touring Europe as the bass player for Queen.
Yeah.
Brian May, Roger Taylor and Adam Lambert. He's been doing that for 10 years. I've known Neil for nearly 30 years. He played on one of my demos back in 1993. We've been best mates ever since. My saxophone player, Frank Walden, was in Amy Winehouse's band. He played for Tom Jones for 10 years. So, you know, they are a world-class band. And as you saw, and as people see, you know, Billy Joel's music is not easy to perform. It's not easy. It's not straightforward rock.
No, not at all.
No, there's a lot of notes. There's a lot of chords. There's a lot of arrangements. The backing vocals, the string, the organs, the sound effects. And I'm blessed with this incredible band who not only can play their instruments, but they can sing as well. And they can perform. So I'm the happiest I've ever been. Even when I started 9 years ago, doing this, because I just have to keep Billy's songbook alive. I just can't bear to see it just dissipate into the ether. So,
thank God that you're doing it, because his music is tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. And something I learned last night was that you're actually born in Woking.
Yes! I was born at St. Peter's Hospital on the 8th of February, 1968. And I rang my mum yesterday and I said, Mum, I'm playing in Woking tonight. And she said, oh, wow, you know, I remember. She said, make sure you tell the audience. I said, of course I'm going to tell the audience, you know. My mum and dad, both Italian, Lee, they're from the southern part of Italy. They emigrated and made England their home in the early 60s. I was born in 1968 in Woking, as my sister was. And we were there for about 3 years. They lived in Addleston. Mm-hmm. And we were there for 3 years, 2.5 years, and then we decided that it would be nicer to bring up the kids by the sea. So they moved down to the south coast, and I was brought up in Eastleigh, near Southampton. So, it was a very special night. I was so touched, Lee, that so many people came, and the response I got when I mentioned that I was born in Woking was very moving, I have to say.
And it was also interesting that the guy that used to go to school with you in Eastleigh was there in the audience.
Yeah, Surinder. He was in my class right through school from the age of 11 to 16. And we were, so there he was in the front row. I knew he was coming because he'd put a post up or something that somebody had alerted me to. But there he was in the front row. And he looks exactly the same. And it was so, so lovely. You know, when I tell the story in the middle, your listeners will not know, but I describe at the beginning of the show how I became a Billy Joel fan, and it includes an ex-girlfriend when I was about 16 or 17 years old. And of course, Surinder in the front row knew exactly who I was talking about, and I could see him smiling when I was referring to this So, yeah, it was a very, very special night last night. Really, really enjoyed it.
That's great. Well, the tour goes on. I mean, you've only just started. It's about 6 or 7 dates in, and you go all the way through to the 27th of October.
That's right. So what we're doing is, so Phil McIntyre has booked the Songbook Show. Now, the Billy Joel Songbook is the one that you saw last night, which is filled with all of Billy Joel's hits. There's about 30 songs, I think, we do in the show. Every single hit, and I'll tell you his story. But about 3 years ago, it's 2018, I decided, because so many people were saying, oh, when are you going to do The Diamonds to Alexa? When are you going to do Vienna? When are you going to do, you know, this song, you know, Leave a Tender Moment Alone, Keeping the Faith? So I thought, you know what we need to do? We need to start doing the albums in their entirety, and that's what we started to do. So coming back to this year, Phil McIntyre has booked all these songbook shows, which are the hit show, but I've booked right in the middle of the tour. We're gonna pause the songbook at the end of September for me to do another 10 shows of another 2 albums. We're going to do The Bridge from 1986 and Turnstiles from 1976 for 10 shows in a row, and then we have a day off, and then we're going to go back and finish the songbook tour. I don't think this has ever been done before, that where an artist or a performer in this country is actually selling tickets for 2 different tours that are happening simultaneously within each other. So it's. I mean, look, I describe this as a festival of Billy Joel music. So for anybody that loves Billy Joel's music, here we are with this amazing band, beautiful light show, fantastic sound engineer, and we're bringing you a festival of Billy Joel. If you want to come along, leopace.com, where all the tickets are available. But I'm, honestly, Lee, I'm having the time of my life, really.
I'll try and come out and see one of those shows as well. That'd be great.
I'd love you to. Yeah. We're 10 shows: Dundee, Alnwick, Kendal, Lincoln, Salford, Loughborough, Epsom, Wimborne, Bury St Edmunds, and Milton Keynes. Hello there. This is Elio Pace, and you're listening to Lee Williams.
Virginia, rode a boy with a 6-gun in his hand, and his daring life of crime made him a legend in his time, east and west of the Rio Grande. The teller by surprise, and the word spread of Billy the Kid. Ooh. Well, he never traveled heavy, yes, he always rode alone, and he soon put many older guns to shame. And he never had a sweetheart, no. The Kid was in town. Ooh. rode a boy with a six-pack in his hand. And his daring life a crime made him a legend in his time, east and west of the Rio Grande. David Clark.
Elio Pace once again, brother.
Have you ever met Billy Joel?
No, I've not met, like, sat in a room and chatted with him and, you know, shook his hand or anything like that. But 29 years ago, 1993, when he brought out the last album that he released, The River of Dreams, to promote the album, he was doing a series of question and answers where he literally would go around the world taking questions from people in a room and answering questions about his career with a piano on stage, and he would just sing something, and then he would basically, like a lecturer, just sort of take questions and lecture about his career. He decided to do one, the only one he's ever done in the UK, and I went to it. It was at Logan Halls in London. 1993, and I went along, and I was one of the 800 people that would put up their hand every time he looked around the audience and went, well, okay, next question. And I would, you know, I was one of the 800. Eventually, the mic came to me, and I asked him my question, and we had a little banter backwards and forwards, and it was great fun. But that's the closest I've come to speaking to him. But we are fully aware that Billy knows about this show. He's known about it since 2014. We got a couple of messages through a couple of different sources saying that Billy's fully aware that you're doing it and he's pretty impressed you're doing 70 date tours. And actually, one of the people that let me know that Billy was fully aware of us was Billy's ex-guitar player, David Brown, who was Billy's guitar player for 13 years, all through the golden years, actually 1978 until 91. David came and joined us for those first two albums show tours that we did. And one of those trips, he came over and said, oh, I spoke to Billy the other day. Oh, yeah. He said, yeah. And we spoke about you. And, you know, he was pretty impressed that I was coming over the ocean to come and play his music again. Because David left the band in 1991 and really hasn't played Billy Joel music since then. So, you know, we have it on good authority that Billy's fully aware of what we're up to. So that's nice.
The original band that backed Billy asked you to come over, didn't they, to America to do some dates?
That's right. And actually, Lee, that's what kicked off this whole Billy Joel songbook thing. I tried to get a Billy Joel show going twice in the 90s. Once in 93, and again in 96, and we contacted theatres around this country back at the time, and nobody was interested. I mean, nobody was in six. I contacted 250 theatres in this country, everywhere, all around the country, and only six of them responded. And one of those theatres thought that it was the actual Billy Joel that was trying to book into a 300-seater theatre somewhere, you know, in 1993. So anyway, it was quite a hard slog. And then, it never happened. And then, in February of 2013, I got a phone call from one of the members of Billy's original touring band, a guy called Larry Russell, who was the very first musician that Billy Joel appointed for his new band when Billy made his very first solo album back in 1971 called Spring Harbor. And this guy, Larry, calls me and says, we're putting the band together after 41 years, and we're going to recreate a special concert that we did with Billy back in 1972, song by song. And we wondered if you'd like to fly over to New York and be part of this reunion and co-front it. So that was February of 2013, and I said yes, obviously, and it was an incredible experience. But that is what kicked me off, and I went, right, I'm going to try this again. And this time, in 2013, it was a whole different ballgame. It was amazing how that sort of 20 years made a massive difference.
Yeah. And
all of a sudden, next thing I know, we've booked a 70-date tour in 2014, and away we went. But that reunion, which is now called the Sigma Reunion, is now available to hear, because I'm so proud to say that I was left in charge of producing the album for those original members, and we put the album out this year, and it's absolutely phenomenal, even if I say so myself. The band sounds fantastic. It's myself singing six songs, David Clark singing six songs, and Kenny Ingram from Canada singing another two. And we fronted this reunion. It was a spectacular night, and that concert is now available to buy on CD or from my website, leopace.com, as a download. It's called Long, Long Time, The Sigma Reunion. So I'm very proud of it.
Good. Well, your girl sent me three of the songs from it to play in this interview. So the music you'll be hearing in this interview is going to be three of the songs from that album.
Wow. Thank you so much for that.
That's great. It. And going back in time a bit, obviously you've done so much more than just this. I mean, you were with Terry Wogan for a long time as well, weren't you? And many of the big stars.
Yeah, that job there was one of the most incredible things ever, really. When I got a phone call from Terry Wogan asking me to be his musical director and featured artist on his weekend Wogan show on BBC Radio 2. The dear late Sir Great, Sir Terry Wogan, he was such an incredible help to me. He opened up so many doors. He was the first person to play my records nationally. He made my Christmas song, What a Day, his favourite Christmas song, and got playlisted on Radio 2. Then he asked me to do Weekend Wogan, and for 36 glorious shows, I was his musical director, and we got to play with all the big stars like Brian May and Huey Lewis and Debbie Reynolds and Don McLean and John Legend and Neil Sedaka, Nora Jones, Gilbert O'Sullivan. I mean, it just went on and on and on. My job, and Glenn Campbell, my job is to write arrangements for these stars who would come on and play with my band on the show. And he also insisted that the BBC featured me three times in each show. So for each show, I got to sing three live songs. Apparently, Lee, I still to this day hold a record in this country of the most live performances on national radio ever in this country in 1 year. I did 102 live performances on Radio 2.
My goodness. 2010. Wonderful.
So, yeah.
I remember seeing I remember lots of it that you did with that, but I remember the time when Albert Lee played with you. That was wonderful.
Well, I've always known you're an Albert Lee fan, and Albert Lee is probably the greatest musician I've ever shared the stage with. I toured in his band for 3 years, from 2000, I actually did my first gig in 2006, but it was in 2009, and the only reason I left was because Terry had asked me to do this show on national radio, which I had to do, and of course Albert was like, you go with my blessing, mate, good luck to you, you know. But those years on the road with Albert were absolutely an education, so much fun, beautiful gigs, beautiful music. He's a gem of a person. I just did every single night of the tours, my jaw was on the floor listening to him play and sing, and he's amazing. And then he honoured me by asking me to produce an album called Like This, which I wrote a song with Matt Daniel Baker for called Can Your Grandpa Rock and Roll, which Albert sang and used to do live with us. But he asked me to produce this album, And so, you know, yeah, my time with Albert Lee was a golden years, actually. Really loved it.
Wonderful. Well, I know you've got to get on to another interview, so I'd like to thank you so much for doing this interview, and good luck with the rest of the tour. Give us the website again where people can go and check out the dates for the Billy Joel songbook as well as the album shows.
Thank you. Yes, the website is eliopace.com, and that's my name, and it's spelled E-L-I-O-P-A-C-E. eliopace.com. It's all there, and the new Sigma album is there, and our award-winning DVD for the Billy Joel songbook's there, so... Yeah, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, Lee. Thank you so much.
Likewise, and I can't wait to see you again. And my partner even bought one of your female T-shirts because she thought it was one of the best merchandise she's seen anywhere.
Well, that's an amazing bit of feedback, actually. So thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Yeah, do you know what? I do like a bit of quality. I always believe that, you know, quality... It's king, to be honest. It's not quantity, and I don't do things by halves. And I haven't put out 100 albums. I haven't written 1,000 songs. But the ones I do, the things I do put out, I do care about that each little thing that I can put out as an independent artist, which is what I am. I'm not signed to a big, you know, record company or anything like that. And certainly, we don't have huge loads of cash behind us for the merchandise. But I totally believe. But it's all about quality, everything. So I live by that. So what you just said has made my day. Thank you.
Well, one of the songs you played last night, which is on this album, Captain Jack, I'd like you to announce it, because we're going to finish off the interview with that. So if you could do that right now.
I certainly will. So this is a song that I think is the most important Billy Joel song, because this was the one that got him discovered, Lee. Back in 1972. It's the one that Clive Davis at Columbia Records heard and signed Billy to Columbia Records and turned an unknown singer-songwriter basically into a superstar. It's a very important song in Billy Joel's life, and this is me playing it with the original band that played it originally with him, and it's called Captain Jack. Hello there, this is Elio Pace, and you're listening to Lee Williams.
Saturday night, and you're still hanging around. You're tired of living in your one-horse town. You'd like to find a little hole in the ground for a while. So you go to the village in your tie-dye jeans. You stare at the junkies and the closet queens. It's like some pornographic magazine. And you smile. Oh. Just a little push and you'll be smiling. Oh, no, no. Oh, yeah. Your sister's gone out, she's on a date. You just sit at home and masturbate. Your phone is gonna ring soon, but you just can't wait
for that call. So you stand on the corner in your new English clothes, and you look so polished from your hair down to your toes. Ah, but still your fingers gonna pick your nose after all. Decide to take a holiday. You've got your tape deck and your brand new Chevrolet. Ah, but there ain't no place to go anyway. And what for? Oh. So you got everything, but nothing's cool. They just found your father in the swimming pool, and you guess you won't be going back to school anymore. Play your albums and you smoke your pot, and you meet your girlfriend in the parking lot. Ah, still you're aching for the things you haven't got. What went wrong? And if you can't understand why your world is so dead, why you gotta keep in style and feed your head? Well, you're 21 and still your mother makes your bed, and that's too long. Ladies and gentlemen, the band, let's hear it for the Sigma Band, come on.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.